Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
You think you're so superior?
Hardly, but I do think I've earned the right to be called Mr., you bastard.
Yeah, well, someone ought to knock you down a peg. All you people.
I volunteer!
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 18. We interrupt this program. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Sarah, we're so close to the end of the stalker storyline.
Oh, thank God. Let's go.
Well, we have two other storylines to get through first, so let us race through them, starting with our C plot. Love Pentagon downgraded to Love Triangle. In her office, Val is super pissy at Tom, complaining that he's not devoting enough time to his job and denying that the real issue is his spending any time with Kelly. He's leaving when she stops him to say she didn't mean it and he's doing great at his job, but it's too late. He tells her he quits. And then Tom is walking Kelly back to the beach apartment after another date. She invites him in, but he wants to clear up some stuff first. Like, is Kelly seeing him because she's trying to hurt Val? Yes. He doesn't want to see her if she's just trying to get back at Val. So Kelly leans in and kisses him, asking if that answers his question. He says it doesn't. Hilariously.
Nice.
So she clarifies that she doesn't like Val, but it's not why she's with Tom. He says he should go. Kelly asks what Tom did when Val threatened his job, and Tom tells her he quit. That's it. Anything to add?
Nope.
Moving on to our B plot. Steve and Claire try to salt Peter the Olds. So Sam and the Chancellor are still an item. They've gone away for a weekend retreat of some sort with Steve and Claire. Apparently it was Claire's idea and also her idea that they not room together to keep their parents apart. So she's rooming with Samantha and Steve and the Chancellor are rooming together, though we don't see them, their bachelor pad at all. In their room, Samantha tells Claire how pleased she is to have this chance to get to know her better, even though she knows a lot since the Chancellor never stops talking about how great Claire is. But then Claire is struck dumb at the sight of the diaphanous negligee Sam has brought. You can see it in the visual aids. It is no joke.
No, only on TV also.
Yes. But yeah, I don't know whose room she's planning to sneak out to in order to do whatever she was planning with that negligee, but not my business. At dinner, Claire starts talking up all of the Chancellor's physical ailments, including high cholesterol, diabetes, and phlebitis, and pointedly tells Samantha she's concerned about overstimulation of any kind. So Samantha and the Chancellor take off to get seconds, whereupon even Steve has to tell Claire to quit trying to keep them apart. Claire does an amazing barf take, which you can see in the visual aids. Thank you, Sarah.
It was my pleasure.
Claire begs him to help her, but Steve hasn't seen Samantha happy in so long, and Claire is roll sad in clip 2.
Happy? Obviously, she's going to be happy. Why wouldn't she be? She's taking my dad.
Taking him from whom?
From me. She's taking him from me.
It's dumb, but I kind of feel for Claire. It's sweet. She's, you know, her mother died when she was really young, so I get that she would be jealous of her dad's romantic life.
And it's refreshing that she just comes out and says it. Like, yeah, I guess it's weird, but it's also totally frequent and normal, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, this storyline is dumb and kind of a waste of time, but everything turns out okay, and her take on it is refreshing. At least they gave this, like, they're always in the C plot, these two, and at least they got something sort of cute to do this time.
Yes. I mean, there's more to it, of course. This is just the middle of it, but I think we didn't mention last time because we didn't know. Someone pointed it out in the comments that Nicholas Pryor and Christine, I forget her last name, who plays Samantha, are married in real life.
Yes.
And we didn't know.
Definitely, once you know that, it's like definitely clear on screen. Yeah, it's
for
very
sure.
Cute.
Yes. I mean, we were very complimentary of their chemistry. And then someone, whoever pointed out, was like, so nice for them.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next day, Claire's apparently convinced Steve that they need to tell their parents that their dating puts too much stress on Claire and Steve's relationship, which I feel would be answered with a, we don't give a fuck. But at any rate, they haven't had a chance to tell them anything yet because they roll right up on the Samantha and the Chancellor, kissing it up in a gazebo. But Steve is impressed and happy for his mom. Cut to the gazebo where the Chancellor breaks their clinch and says they can't do this because of Claire. Sam tells him that Claire will get used to the idea in time. The Chancellor asks if the same is true of Steve, and Samantha admits that he does seem uncomfortable. Steve and Claire eavesdrop like Camdens. As the Chancellor says, he wants the retreat to bring them all closer together and never dreamed it could do the opposite. Samantha asks if he's saying they should break up. The Chancellor says that even if they think the kids are wrong about their dating, they have to start listening to them. Counterpoint, no, they don't. You're adults.
Yeah,
sorry.
Not. Yeah, honestly, fuck off. Anyway.
Like, it's not like Claire is 10 still, you know, like, I get that she's upset, but at the same time, it's like, you can want all kinds of things. That doesn't mean you get them.
Well, and they're just dating. She's not moving in. And like you said, Claire's not 10 anyway. So even if she were moving in, who cares?
Yeah. At the retreat, Steve takes Samantha aside so that Claire can tell the Chancellor that she really loves him. And cheerfully, he says he really loves her too. It's very dadly. I love these moments for him. Claire didn't understand what that meant until this afternoon when she spied on him dumping Samantha for Claire's sake, but she doesn't want them to break up, and the Chancellor is relieved and happy. Claire is sorry she tried to sabotage them, and the Chancellor kindly says she doesn't need to apologize and that she's his number one, and then they hug. It's very sweet.
It is cute. Their relationship is cute.
It is. At the bar, Steve is explaining his part in all this to Samantha and says he's been missing her, but he's okay with her seeing the Chancellor. And off the Chancellor and Sam go together to give that negligee a workout, I assume. Moving on to our A plot. Ugh. Using the letter A so loosely. Donna Stalker revealed. At a staff meeting, Brandon tells everyone that Donna will be coming back to do the weather after all. Oh, thank God. Evan suggests acting like she was never gone, and Brandon agrees that that makes sense. I doubt anyone even registered that she left after the two segments that she did, but fine. But then in Bus Rusty, that other trash-talking dude who's Evan's friend or whatever, he's pissed at Brandon for sending the cops after him as Donna's possible stalker, and Brandon denies that he did, and Tracy says the cops questioned everyone at the station about it. So that broad Chloe is back at the Peach Pit after dark playing for David. Her sob story is that her religious parents disowned her after she dropped out of school. She doesn't have the money to make a real demo, but David offers her the use of his home studio, if you know what I mean. Just kidding. He actually literally means that. And he's in the middle of producing Chloe's song when Donna calls. She's already, as Sarah said in our last podcast, run out of material for her stupid weather segment and wants David to help her write some, which he tries to get out of reasonably. Based on past experience, she's suspicious of whatever he's doing with Chloe, but he promises that nothing's going on and offers to come by later with dinner and a movie, but she pouts that she doesn't need a babysitter anymore.
Like, apparently you do, since you need your hand held with this fucking insipid weather broadcast when you live in Los Angeles.
This is really the part that doesn't get discussed enough. I mean, I know we brought it up the first time, but it's
and
so
David
dumb.
Says it too. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, elsewhere, the stalker is watching Donna's first segment again, loading a gun and calling her a bitch. I talk to my TV too, guy. I get it. At the station, Donna obliviously greets Rusty, but he's not having it in clip three.
What do you want?
Nothing. It's just my first day back in a while. I kind of want to get here a little early and prepare.
You actually prepare that routine of yours? Yeah, I thought you had an excuse for being bad.
I heard,
Steve.
You were pretty upset Steve. About the police questioning you. I'm really sorry I put you out.
Yeah, well, save your pity for someone who needs it.
Look, I'm just trying to be nice.
Yeah, well, don't be, okay?
Everything good?
And if it's not?
Donna?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I think maybe you should leave.
Yeah, well, nobody cares what you think. Newsroom keys. Give them to the commandant. I'm out of here.
Rusty.
Commandant is giving Brandon rather a lot of credit he doesn't deserve. I mean,
that word is longer than he is tall, but yeah, seriously.
Yep. So as Donna starts to get ready for her segment, Evan continues to be a creep. This is a long one, but it's worth hearing the meandering that goes on in clip four.
You know, working behind the camera, I look into everyone's eyes. And you're the only one I felt was really talking to me. The only one I feel, I don't know, makes me feel important. Like you really understand me.
That's really nice of you to say.
Here, wear this.
Excuse me?
I think you'd look great in it.
The broadcast is about to start. Don't you have to get ready or something?
No. Something wrong?
No. I just, I still feel a little shaken up by the thing that happened with Rusty, that's all.
You don't have to worry. I'm here.
Mm-hmm. How do I look?
Perfect.
Yeah. Don't.
I know you like me.
Evan, you're making me very uncomfortable.
The phone calls? Flowers. I know you like the attention.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sterling silver roses are beautiful, aren't they? I picked them because they go with your eyes.
I'm sorry.
Her eyes are brown.
I really don't know what you're talking about.
You know we're meant to be together.
Look, if you sent me flowers, I'm sorry, I didn't get them. And if you called me, you probably got my number mixed up with somebody else.
Look, this is about the rat. We're trying to run you down. I'm sorry. But you made me mad.
He's all over the map. Like, I don't understand from all of that what his motivation actually is.
No, really. I don't either. And actually, I haven't understood, like, based on the harassing calls, it's like, I want to kill you. But also I want to fuck you, but also we're meant to be together. Like,
right.
Okay. Like, I'm not saying this is a sane person, but still usually there's a little more cohesion in a stalker's like internal logic. I don't know. I don't know why we're even interrogating this. Who cares?
Right.
The actor is quite convincingly like nice guy turned dickwad.
Yes, like, true. I agree
creepy.
With that for sure.
He's good, which is unfortunate for all of us.
Right.
Ugh.
He is. So it's at this point that Brandon walks in. Donna scurries over to him and tells him Evan's the stalker. Evan denies it. Brandon puts on his toughest voice to try and handle shit in clip five.
You know, Evan, I think this may be something for the authorities to sort out. So I'm going to call campus security and have them come down here.
Put it down.
Evan,
don't make this any worse for yourself than it already is.
Yeah, I said put it down.
So that's what he pulls up.
And thus begins a solid 2 weeks of Brandon glaring. He's going for watchful, but it just lands on loathing because Priestley's not very good and doesn't care about his job anymore.
Yep. So now it's a hostage situation because he's pulled a gun. Evan orders Donna to go lock the studio doors and has everyone lie on the floor, except Donna, who has to go stand with Evan as he jams his gun into her ribs. He has something to say, and Donna's going to get hurt if he's not allowed to say it. He sends Brandon to the control room while Tracy ugly cries, "I made a gif of this that I'm very proud of, so please go see it in the visual aids." This actress is limited, and her ugly crying is convincingly ugly and weird, though.
Yeah, no, that was impressive. Like, she's not given much to do. I can't really even tell how good she is. Since,
true.
Like, I mean, she's convincing us that this simp has a lady boner for Brandon, so she must have some skills.
Yeah.
But that ugly crying was roof, and in a good way. I'd also like to add that, what is this character's name? She's the curly-haired producer.
Oh, I don't know her name. But I know you're talking
Diane.
About.
She has a name. I have tagged her before in the visual aids, which you can find at previously.tv. She's doing her usual what the fuck
she
face
is.
Making, which is really great.
Yeah.
And later on, she's like, when there's an opening for someone to scamper away and be like, fuck this, she takes it immediately while making that same face. She's the best.
Yeah, she's good. In the control room, Brandon manages to call 911 on speaker and bray about hostages before Evan notices and makes him hang up. And then they go live to the fives of students who will be watching. Donna has to tell Evan they're on the air.
Never gets old, that joke.
Well, cut to the good old student union, which apparently is required to play the campus station on its TVs because Kelly's at the snack bar and sees the feed. Apparently what Evan wants is for Donna to say on live TV that she loves him, so she does. He's also brought something for her to read. His diary. Clipsix.
January 15th. Donna Martin started working at the station today. We hit it right off. She even winked at me during the newscast.
Now, this.
January 25th, Donna's... Donna's a virgin. I think it's so romantic. She's only gonna give herself to one man. The way she looks at me through the camera, I know that I'm the one.
You see? You see what I'm talking about? There's plenty more. Here. I want you to read this. I want you to start here.
I mean, there might have been other plots in this episode, but Tori Spelling's line deliveries take so long. Like, even knowing that she doesn't die, spoiler, so there's no tension, really. It's so badly done. Like, it just takes forever. Like, okay, he took everybody hostage. Get on with it.
Yeah.
Please.
Also, like, why do we have to watch her tell the school she's a virgin? Like, we know they don't care, I'm sure.
Yeah, ugh. We also don't care. And yeah, exactly. Like, this is all big who cares, honestly.
True. Outside, there's a SWAT team and tons of cops. The detective in charge, whose name is Randall and who is played by a Canadian hates that guy who you can see in the visual aids, calls into Brandon in the control room to see if anyone's hurt, and no one is so far. On camera, Evan demands that Donna tell him he loves her again, but like she means it. And Evan says now everyone can see what he sees, that she's a liar. Brandon tells Evan the cops want to talk to him, but Evan refuses. Randall says they want to work with him. All he's done is hold people up, so it might not be that bad for him if he lets everyone go now, but this just makes Evan madder, and he orders Brandon to hang up. Back to berating Donna for leading him on since the day they met, Donna feebly agrees, under gunpoint duress, that she did. And in the good old student union, Kelly tries calling David, but gets his machine and leaves this message, clip 7.
David, where are you? Look, Donna is in real trouble. When you get this, turn on CUTV, call me.
Worst message. Like, maybe warn him about what he's going to see. Tell him the cops are on the scene. People who care about Donna are in the studio with her. Something.
Or tell him nothing. Just be like, it's an emergency. Call me back immediately.
Right.
Like, don't be weird like that. And then wait for him to turn on CUTV. Which I keep almost calling CUNTV. Sorry. Not that sorry. See you next Tuesday, V. Anyway, yeah, that's very dumb. But like, how classic David that he's like, now your ass is mine. But then when shit actually goes down, who knows where he even is?
Yeah.
Maybe Brian Austin Green tried to care in scenes that were written about it and he just couldn't and they cut them.
Well, I figured this was setting up a repeat of the fire story where Donna's all pissed, like, when I needed you, where were you? You had your phone off because you were with Chloe. Blah, 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 blah.
I don't know. We'll see.
We will, unfortunately. Back to the feed. Evan wants Donna to repeat she's a manipulative, spiteful bitch, which she does. Later, the air conditioning is off in the studio and everyone is sweaty and exhausted. Brandon doesn't know, when questioned by Evan, why it's so hot, except that it's what makes Evan finally speak directly to Randall. Evan sends Brandon to the outer doors to get the drinks the cops have sent. And when Brandon's arms are full of drinks, the only woman in the studio we don't know leaps from the floor. This is your friend, the other producer, leaps from the floor,
yes,
grabs a phone. Hmm?
Yes, that is her.
Yeah. Grabs a phone, yells at the cops to help them because Evan's going to kill them. And he pulls the gun on her. While he's distracted by her, two SWAT guys come in behind him. And she follows Evan's instructions to get back on the floor. Evan drinks. Randall asks again for Evan to let the hostages go. Donna says she's the one he wants, so she'll stay. And it works. Everyone else runs out except Brandon and Donna and Tracy, who has to run the camera.
Excuse me, but if SWAT is already in, like if SWAT runs in and then they hide, quote unquote, in the manner of a cat hiding under the couch by only putting its head under there, like that was some bullshitty hiding, SWAT.
Yeah.
But once they're in there, like his back is turned, just shoot him.
Honestly, so this is, it's only at this point that we see where they went. They're in the control room, which, as you know, if you've ever seen a control room, is a glass booth. So again, as Sarah said, good hiding. Evan still doesn't know why they're there. Randall asks what Evan needs to resolve the situation, and Evan says, clip eight.
I need everyone to know what a lying bitch Donna is.
What do you need from me?
Randall. I thought there's like a teeny tiny like eighth of an eye roll that he's like, uh-huh. And what can I do for you today, sir?
Amazing. Randall is so sick of this amateur shit. Evan decides he needs a car. Randall says that would take time. And could he let Donna go in the interim? And Evan says that Donna's his girlfriend. And Randall already heard her say she wants to stay. It's not kidnapping. And if Evan lets Donna go, Randall says, so will he? Evan's thinking about it when he sees the SWAT guy and goes nuts, yelling at Brandon to get them out of there. Negotiation over. They need to get a car within an hour or Donna dies. Bye, Donna. Just kidding. She lives. Spoiler. After a commercial, Evan is musing about where he and Donna should go. Donna tries to tell him it's over. He tries to shut her up by pointing the gun at her, but she's over it. Doesn't want to go anywhere with him. And then she kind of takes things in a weird direction in clip nine.
You want me to care about you? When did you ever give me the chance? God, when most people like somebody, they ask them out on a date.
You would have said no.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do.
How?
Because without this gun, I'm a nobody.
So now you're a somebody, is that it? Now you have all the power.
Damn right.
You don't have anything.
Don't push me here.
You want to kill me? Go ahead. You want to have me? What's stopping you?
I said don't push me.
I am pushing you. And you can't handle it, not even with your gun. You want to know why? Because you're a creeper. You creep into my apartment when I'm gone.
Shut up!
You creep around the streets following me.
I said shut up!
Yeah, well, I don't want a creeper. I want a man. Put down the gun and be a man.
What the hell are you looking at?
It's your boner?
I guess I understand the trying to ingratiate yourself to him by making him believe that you have a future, which we're going to see a different version of in a second, or here rather. But like the hostility is maybe too much how you actually feel to be useful. I don't get this tactic. I mean, I hope I'm never in a position to try either of them, but this seems weird.
Well, yeah. And it seems like, well, he's definitely not going to kill me because he loves me. Like, based on what his motivations are and that they seem to change from moment to moment, mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'd go with, like, let's call his bluff.
Yeah.
I mean, but let's face it. In reality, SWAT would have shot him in the back of the leg by now, and this would be over.
Yes.
So I don't get any of this, but yeah, that is weird, but at least it passed the time until, I mean, the next tactic is so slow and so gross, and she had so many opportunities to speed it up and took none of them. So no. Let's move on.
So that what the hell are you looking at is directed at Tracy. So he storms over and points the gun at her, but she just sort of looks at him, and then he deflates and tells her to leave also. And Brandon meets Tracy at the door. She tries to get him to go with her, but he's going to stay with Donna, of course, the hero. Randall,
whatever.
Which, by the way, Professor Randall was in this season. Like, are they that bereft of creativity? They couldn't come up with a different name for this guy. They couldn't call him, like, even Randolph. Come on, guys.
Yeah. Or, I don't know, Thompson, Jeffries. There are a million very common last names. Pick one of those.
Indeed. Anyway, Randall, the second, congratulates Evan on this smart move, which is when Evan makes Brandon hang up the phone. Nevins just sits and starts crying, begging Donna not to hate him. He just can't live without her. And outside, the cops figure they can blind Evan with a flashbang long enough to subdue him. Take your time, why don't you? Evan asks Donna to come sit next to him on the lip of the stage, and she tries to work her one angle in the extremely creepy clipped in.
So,
I didn't know how much you cared.
Just wanted us to be together.
Got it.
No, it's not. It's sweet. You know, it makes me think this could actually work out between us.
You're just saying that.
Never been to South America.
They in the rainforest. They're supposed to be incredible. We could be together there.
Would you take care of me?
Like a queen. What about your boyfriend?
Everyone knows I care about you.
Real.
Brandon. Tell him.
Yeah, that's right, Evan. Donna's been talking for a long time about breaking up with David. Actually, she's been telling me about the crush that she has on you.
Very convincing, dumbass.
No lie.
No lie. In fact, she just asked me this morning about the Valentine's Day party I was going to have next week. She wanted to invite you.
Valentine's Day?
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone can see us together?
Kiss me.
No. Not with the gun pointed at me.
Like, that's the bridge too far now?
Yeah.
I mean, it drags on. And then Brandon is like, tell him, Brandon, like, don't enlist his help. And then when his help is enlisted, he's like, that's totally what she said. She said she's going to break up with David. You believe me, right?
Like, yeah. So,
really?
Super gross, but he does put the gun down and Donna fucking goes for it, kissing him. Like, you can see, I made a gif. She's like, her tongue is like in his kidneys. She's so all over him. It's nuts.
Yeah. Like, he put the gun down.
Yeah.
Focus.
So he asks if now he believes how much he cares. At no point in this very aggressive kissing does Brandon make move one toward the gun. Donna finally has to kick it away. This is when Brandon leaps out of the control room like a fucking flying squirrel. You can see the visual aids and shoves Evan. And then Donna gets the gun and points it at Evan. And finally the cops burst in. And here is our heroine's final exchange with her antagonist, clip 11.
You said you wouldn't leave me.
I lied.
That's it. Except for the super dramatic music.
David!
Amazing. This was awful, but it's over.
It is.
All right, moving on to our MVP. Who's your pick?
Rusty.
Rusty's good.
He's like, wow, I thought you had an excuse for sucking, but it just turns out you suck. And calming down was pretty good.
I'm going to say Samantha Sanders, who had her eyes on the Chancellor Prize and packed accordingly.
Sure.
Least valuable player. I mean, leaving aside Evan, because it's a little bit obvious. Brandon, who didn't jump on the gun, as I just finished saying.
The SWAT team guys. Yes. We're like, we'll just hide behind this pencil. The fuck? Ward.
Yeah. All right. Any user submitted challenge? This comes to us from Kyla Epstein on Twitter. And she wants to know which five books we think the cast should read to be better people. I assume this is cast or characters. The Gift of Fear, to confirm everything that Donna knew all along about her stalker.
Totally. How to Win Friends and Influence People, Brandon.
Yeah, God, that's tough.
I Am Judging You by Lovey. I think they could all benefit from that, especially in the writer's room. Infinite Jest, on the off chance that it falls off the top of a bookshelf and hits one or more of them in the head, killing them instantly.
And The 4-Hour Work Week, because then maybe everyone wouldn't have to rush off everywhere all the time because of all the important things they have to do.
That's five. Next time on Again With This, Cliff comes back, Steve smokes pot, Kelly dates Tom, Tracy is dumb, and if it's not one thing, it's Val's mother. Or mama, as you prefer. As Valentine's Day wreaks its customary stuff havoc on the Hillsters. Our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This will wreak havoc on your retina. If you're willing to take the risk, you can find them on our website at previously.tv, and you can follow that site on Twitter at previously.tv. You can follow this podcast at AWT90210. I'm manipulative, spiteful bitch, Sarah D. Bunting. I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Excuse for Being Bad, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Control Room Cowboy, David T. Cole. He's on Twitter at Clark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Behind the delivery trucks that keep your life stocked, thousands of employees at BP go to work every day. People bringing a new offshore production platform online. People making our refineries capable of more, like making renewable diesel from agricultural waste. People trading and shipping fuels to our customers. And people helping truckers fill up and get maintenance at our convenient locations. They're part of almost 300,000 jobs BP supports across the country. Learn more at bp.com/investing in America.